Turn your psalm books to number 696, please. 696, please. When I was at Ohio Valley College and taking a sermon preparation class, Brother Charles Abbey told us in class that whenever we prepared a lesson, it should be no longer than 3 points. And then it increased from 3 to 5. And then I was at a lectureship and heard him, and I said, "You remember when we used to be in college and you said we had to have 3 points in our lessons, and that was about the extent of it?" And then it increased to 5, and I said, "Today in your lecture you had 8. So I said, "I'm glad that you increased that number." But tonight, I'm only going to have 3. And they're based on the text that was read a few boats ago so ably. Some of my favorite studies are 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and John. And about every week as I go through my personal studies, I reread these particular passages, because when I was in college, I had to translate them from the Greek language. The Greek language is a very beautiful language. And it is no wonder that God's people use that as a basis for our New Testament. Inspiration. And so tonight I want to share with you, along with some songs — I was going to sing 3, but I'm only going to sing 2 for lack of time — along with the points that I want us to think about tonight. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Provides for us 2 concepts, maybe more if we were to look at the entire text. But there are at least 2 that I would like for us to focus on tonight, and that is faith, the faith by which we live, and the hope with which we anticipate the future. Faith and hope. We've all perhaps thought about heaven. I hope you have. And in dealing with the loss of a loved one, perhaps that causes us to think more about heaven and our eternal destiny. And John the writer gives to us many, many great lessons dealing with the blessings that we have in Christ. And so by way of review, I want us to look at the first verse, and I'm not going to elaborate on any of these very, very much, except to give us 3 points for our lesson, and I hope that at least you'll think about these points. Faith by which we live today, and hope by which we anticipate the future. In the text, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Now, I'm sure that as you read this, the word that kind of sticks out in our memory or our thinking is love. "Behold the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." And then it says in the text that we should be called the children of God. Point number 1. Based on this text, we have a supreme privilege. Notice, "Behold the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." That love is a gift. Would you agree? The Father hath bestowed His love so magnificently upon us that we should be called His children. Individuals who have a loving environment, loving family, appreciate the love of a parent or parents. And those parents, if they're good parents and really love their children, would do anything to demonstrate their love for them. So the Father, notice, he says, "Look at the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He's granted to us that we should be called His children." When we think about the privileges of life, we are we have a lot of privileges. I remember when I turned 15, I wanted to be 16, because when I got to be 16, I had the privilege of driving, but I got an early permit in the state of West Virginia to begin driving a little early. And the reason was I had a job and I had to get to work. And so then when the privilege came of getting my regular license, it was really considered by me a very great privilege. We have many privileges in life, and you understand what those privileges are, right? But there is none greater than the supreme privilege of being called a child of God. And he says, I want you to really examine, I really want you to look at the love that the Father has bestowed upon you, that you can be called his children. When we think of God creating our world and God holding the world, as it were, in the palm of his hand, he holds us there. And he cares for us, and he protects us, and he watches out after us. And so the Christian has received a very special bestowal, in my estimation, of love, because we are his children. But only those who have responded in faith to his word have received this unique outpouring of love. Now, I know that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And I know that he loves his creation. But there is that supreme love for his children. And it is poured out to us every day of our lives. What a privilege it is to be a child of God. Now, taking that a step further, how do we demonstrate to our friends and neighbors the great love of God bestowed upon his children? How do we express that? How do we show that? Well, Matthew chapter 7, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 7. This is a familiar text. Starting in verse 9, Jesus uttering these words, Matthew 7, verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Well, you know the answer to that. If his son asks him for bread, the good father will give him bread because he's concerned about his son. He would not give him anything that is harmful. How does that equate with our Father? Our Father never gives us anything that will hurt us, but things that benefit us. Then he says, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And it's interesting, as you read the text, there are a couple of words that I think are important. All the words are important, but there's some that kind of are emphasized by me tonight, and that is much more. You know, if your earthly father provides the things that you need, how much more will your heavenly father provide for you the things that you need? Much more. Kind of goes along with that supreme privilege, does it not, of being one of God's children. So tonight, let's sing number 696. Faith and hope are two things that we're discussing. 696.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Help me to seek thy way, drive doubt and fear away. Rich grace impart strength. as thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When it's life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear, and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a wrath's soul.
We'll sing 529 after a while. 529. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I thought about the song, Face to Face, Shall I Behold Him? Far beyond starry skies. I don't know all that the judgment will have in store, but the second point that I want us to note is that we have hope in anticipating the future. And there is a glorious prospect. And notice what he says, now, beloved, a term of endearment, now, we are presently the children of God. And then he says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I know changes are going to occur at the resurrection. We're going to have spiritual bodies. Do you know that from Scripture? But won't it be a grand time for all those who are his children to face the judgment with the reality finally of heaven as our eternal destiny? Why? Because we are children of God. God has bestowed his love so marvelously upon us. And then he says, it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but then he says this, but we know, K-N-O-W, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Glorious prospect. We've often said we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, right? You've heard that statement. And so as we look at the text, he says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Companionship with Jesus throughout our lives should squelch any misgivings that we have. We don't need to doubt. We don't need to be fearful, because there is this glorious prospect of a future reward. I heard the story years ago of a farmer who decided to go and visit a neighbor, and he had his favorite companion, his dog. The dog went everywhere he went. And he went to the neighbor's house and went into the neighbor's house, and the dog was outside. And after a while, after they began talking a little bit, the dog started scratching the door. He wanted in. And as I thought about that, you know, that animal had never been inside that house before. It was a stranger's house. But he kept scratching. He wanted in. Do you know why he wanted in? He wanted in because his master was in there. In the confines of that house, he wanted to be with his master. Now, I know that's an earthly story, but I think it has a good application for us. And that is, there are texts in our Bibles that talk with similar language. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. The privileges that we have in walking and living in the Christian life, we ought to give thanks always for God, who is our Father. And so there is that glorious prospect of heaven. Maybe we need to talk more in the positive sense about heaven as our eternal destiny and encourage others to do the same. The third point is this. There is an inner power displayed in 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3, especially verse 3. And here's the way it reads. And Brother Dave has already read it. And everyone who has this hope in him, Christ, purifies himself just as he is pure. The thrilling hope of one day becoming like Jesus provides a motivating power to me, and I hope to you as well, to live a righteous life. We want to be like Jesus, our Savior. And so the hope of the Christian, the word hope involves two things, and I mentioned this a lot of times already, desire and expectation. There are some people, believe it or not, who don't care about going to heaven. They don't care that they might lose their soul in eternal hell. They really don't. And so somehow we've got to get that mindset in transition mode. And the motivating force is that there is hope. And that hope, according to this text, has a purifying effect upon our lives. And notice what he says. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. We would say there are some things to do, right? One is that we try to the very best of our ability to live the way that God wants us to live. We want to be like Jesus. And so in the text, there is the person of this verse. And who is the person? The person is the child of God, right? And then there is the power that motivates us, and that's the hope. It's something that is authentic. It's not imagined, or it's not conjured up in our minds. It's real. We have that hope in Christ Jesus. And then finally, he says there is a purpose. The purpose of this verse is the purpose of becoming pure like he is pure. So we want to be like our Savior. Now, I want to share with you this. That anticipation of the future, heaven, will help us with our determination. We're going to determine to go to heaven more than anything else in life because we anticipate that future. And we long for it as God's children. Let's sing then number 529 in your psalm books. And this is a quite familiar song, so let's sing it like we really mean it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. A sailboat without any sail probably won't go very far. But if it has a sail and the wind is able to blow, it progresses through the seas. The wind gives it that push that is necessary to sail. When we really contemplate heaven, there are tremendous motivations, so to speak, behind the sails in our lives that help us to progress, to get through life with all the evil around us. This song suggests our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. When the storms of life come and we face all the things that sometimes overwhelm us, there is in this text that glorious prospect of heaven itself. And it is the motivation, the great love of God, that we are His children, demonstrated, that we're able to make sure that our life shuns evil and does the good, does the right. When He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. That ought to encourage us greatly. Tonight, if you're not yet one of God's children, we would encourage you to, if you are in that believing state, then some changes need to occur, because we look at the life of Jesus, that perfect example, and know that He died on the cross for sin, for sinful people. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And then we are willing to repent of our sins, turn away from it, acknowledge our faith in Jesus as God's Son, and allow ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Arising to walk in newness of life. These three elements. We're children of God. A great anticipation for the future. And the prospect of one day seeing Jesus face to face. Baptized into Christ, arise to walk in newness of life. If we're a wayward child, then we need to acknowledge the wrongs that we've done and repent of those. And pray to God if the very thought of our hearts might be forgiven us. And how thankful we ought to be that we have a God who loves us, cares about us, and will forgive us when we sin. We're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to come and make your desires known as we stand and as we sing together.